13. I'm actually going to begin reading with verse 7 of Romans. That's on page 949 of your pew Bibles. And as you're turning there, one important announcement I forgot. Today is First Sunday, and yes, we are having First Sunday lunch immediately following. We don't want to make anyone stumble for those who have said a new diet for the coming year. But please come and just enjoy the fellowship as well as our food together. So that'll be this morning, right after church. But hear God's word, beginning with Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, you indeed are a God of hope. You give hope always to us in Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, might we see the hope that you give to us today. Might we savor that hope. But Father God, we pray as well, even now, that you would prepare us to share that gospel hope with others. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, at the end of 2015, it seemed that masses of people turned to the internet to see if they could discover their defining word for 2015 or 2016. And a few of those examples of defining words would be words like this: flawless, love, or wisdom. There were a whole host of defining words, and they were meant to be unique to each and every person. While internet searches can be helpful to us in many ways, it's wise for us to turn to the Word of God as we seek His divine words of hope. You know, here in Romans 15:13, God Himself speaks to us. He supplies us with his hopeful and defining words, you know, not just for today, you know, not just for 2016, okay, that's one good word, let's get a new word for 2017. But these are true words that are hopeful words for all eternity. You know, words such as hope and joy and peace and faith. And here, as we look at Romans 15:13 together, and would invite you to keep your Bibles open to that portion of Scripture there on page 949, here we see that only God can graciously supply us with abiding reasons for abundant hope. You know, what abiding reasons does God give for abundant hope? Here, as we look at primarily at this one verse from Romans 15, verse 13, we'll see that there is a sovereign hope, a salvation hope, and finally a secure hope. But it's God who gives us, who supplies us with that abundant hope in Christ. We're breaking down Romans 15, verse 13. Just that first phrase, now may the God of hope. Our hope is a sovereign hope. Let me just give a quick note here about the context, looking at the book of Romans. I know John has been preaching through Romans at Atchafalaya, but here this morning we're only looking at one verse, but so that you understand the book of Romans, here's a quick overview. In Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, there is an initial gospel proclamation. And then beginning in chapter 1, verse 18, going through chapter 3, verse 20, there's the gospel problem of sin. Then in Romans 3, 21 through 11, 36, there's a gospel presentation of God's righteousness for our justification. Justification's a vital word in Romans. It's God who declares us righteous only through the righteousness of Christ. Then in Romans 12, 1 through 15, 13, our section today, we learn about the practical application of the gospel to all of life. It's not just meant to be theological knowledge, it's to impact our day-to-day life as followers of Christ. And the closing section here of Romans tells us about Paul's gospel plans. But here this morning, focusing on Romans 15, and we began reading with verse 7. Here God's word is emphasizing that point, that the gospel, this gospel hope, is not just for one group of people. It's not just for the Jews, God's chosen people, but it's gospel hope for the Gentiles as well. God gives us scriptural reasons for gospel hope, and in that section that we read, it's a whole list, a glorious list of Old Testament scriptures that point to that truth that God's gospel hope is for Jews and Gentiles, and that culminates there in verse 12 of Romans 15. And again, Isaiah says, here from Isaiah chapter 11, verses we often read at Christmas time, the root of Jesse, that's Christ, the Messiah, was of the line and lineage of David, the root of Jesse, will come. And even he who arises to rule the Gentiles in him, in Christ, in the Messiah, will the Gentiles hope. And then that glorious start to Romans 15, 13. Almost a prayer. In fact, one scholar has called this a benedictory intercession. A benediction, you're pronouncing God's blessing upon God's people, interceding for God's people in prayer. And so think of Romans 15, 13 as a prayer. Paul's prayer not only for the church at Rome, but God's prayer for us. And a prayer that we can pray for ourselves and for one another and for Christ's church here. It's a prayer of hope in a sovereign God, a prayer of praise to our God of hope. Here we behold a title used for God that is found only here in this verse. The God of hope. The God who possesses hope. The God who gives hope. The God who sends us hope in his Son, Jesus Christ. A sovereign God who provides us with abiding hope in Christ. That idea of hope saturates all the book of Romans. Let me read a few examples. You can follow along. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then again, Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12. We read, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And one final example, Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And at the very least, we can say here, God graciously not only desires, but has given us a design so that we would have hope. That hope in Christ. And it's not only a hope here in Romans, it's a hope throughout Scripture, you know, especially there in the Psalms. We read that one verse, Isaiah 65, verse 5. It's there in your bulletin. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. You know, God is a God of hope. You know, William Barclay put it this way, no man is hopeless so long as there is such a thing as the grace of Jesus Christ, and no situation is hopeless so long as there is such a thing as the power of God. You know, speaking pastorally, maybe just as a Christian, you know, one of the saddest spiritual sights occurs when self-professing Christians fall into the pit of false hope. You know, what is false hope? You know, the Bible talks about it. When we trust in chariots and horses rather than trusting in God. I think Judas was guilty of false hope, thinking, you know, if I have these 30 pieces of silver, you know, then I'll be set like flint. You know, but hear the words of a hymn. It's actually a modern-day hymn in our Trinity hymnal, not singing it this morning. But it's hymn number 523. Just one verse. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. You know, two applications here, just with that truth that God is our hope. You know, steer clear of false, fallen, and foolish ideas of hope. You know, hopes like these, well, you know, I'll buy a lottery ticket thinking I'm going to win the lottery and then my life will be set. Or maybe you're hoping that, well, maybe not hoping too strong, but someone that you know, a relative, family member, well, when they pass, I know I'm going to get a portion of their inheritance. You know, don't put your hopes in the false, foolish things of this world. You know, but the second application is this, saturate yourself in Scripture. You know, how whatever your Bible reading plan is for this coming year, have a plan for consistently reading through your Bible. You know, if it's only a verse a day, that's fine. You know, but read from all portions of the Bible too. Read from Deuteronomy, read from Psalms, read from Isaiah, from Romans, from the Gospels. You know, learn about the sovereign God who supplies hope in Christ. Now may the God of hope, but look at the second part. There's a salvation hope as well. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you. You know, I love that word. It doesn't say, may he just give you a taste. You know, sort of like when you go to Sam's and they just give you that, you know, tiny little cup. Well, here you can have a taste. And you always want to take another cup. Let me get another cup for my wife, even though she's not with me. You know, God fills you. Fills you. And it's not the you there, you know, here it's helpful to know that that's plural. Fill you all. Fill you as a church. Fill you as a community of believers in Christ. May the God of hope fill you to the brim, fill you to overflowing. You know, there's a wonderful example of it in Scripture. Jesus' first miracle, John chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. Just reading two verses. John 2, verse 6. Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. You know, that's the way that God fills us. He fills us up to the brim, almost filling us to overflowing, filling us. You know, there's a sense of completion there. May he fill you with all joy and peace. You know, one scholar called those twin sisters, joy and peace. They're linked together. You can hardly divide them. You know, earlier in Romans, the Apostle Paul used the phrase peace and joy. And here, I believe rather deliberately, he reverses him. Joy first and then peace. You know, what's joy? You know, think of the great joy at Jesus' birth. When the herald angels gave that message of great hope and joy. Luke chapter 2, familiar verse, Luke 2 verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. That note of joy then is followed by a note of peace in verse 14 of Luke 2. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is well pleased. You see that same order, joy and peace. You know, think of the apostles' joy too after Christ's resurrection. Well, how about peace? You know, peace is more than the absence of conflict. You know, think of the gracious restoration of fellowship between warring factions. You know, God didn't just call a ceasefire, lay down your weapons. You know, he bound us together with himself and with our fellow believers, joy and peace in Christ. You know, peace reminds us, too, that we were rebels against God. And God graciously reached out to us and has redeemed us in Christ. May he fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You know, the root word there is faith. And so you can see those critical words, hope, joy, peace, and faith. You know, but what's faith? What does it mean to believe? It means that you have a personal faith in a saving God who loves us in Christ. J.I. Packer gives a great three-word summary of the gospel. God saves sinners. A believer is one who possesses a gospel faith, knowing that only God can graciously save us from our sins. It's faith in the completed work of Christ. It's not our faith that saves us. It's our faith in Christ. that saves us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 puts it this way. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. This charge, let me back up, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life, to have faith in him for eternal life. You know, take a moment. Don't close your eyes, but take a moment to reflect on your friends, your family members, your neighbors, your coworkers who lack salvation hope. You know, even at the start of the new year, you know, they're hopeless, they're joyless, they're restless, they're fearful about the future, lives of dread, despair, crushing anxiety. No, there's no saving faith in Christ. Robert Haldane reminds us that if we desire to be filled with joy and peace, we must look to God. You know, in God's design, there nothing else will satisfy us. Nothing else will fill that void other than hope in God. Salvation hope. You know, and as you're thinking about those friends, family members who need salvation hope, you know, let me encourage you, and you can encourage me. Pray for them. You know, pray with hope in your voice and in your hearts. Yes, God, you're the God of hope, and I pray and hope that you will change their hearts. Take their hearts of stone, give them hearts of flesh, that they will become new creatures in Christ, that they will know your saving love for them, Lord. You know, and we can pray and hope, you know, because God is that God of hope. You know, that's my prayer, part of the prayer. I think we can pray all of Romans 15:13. You know, but to specifically pray this, for those that we love, those who need Christ, Lord, fill them with all joy and peace in believing. There's a sovereign hope. There's salvation hope. Finally, there's a secure hope. The last part of Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And now here's the phrase, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You know, and when you take a close look at Romans 15, verse 13, you'll see that every person of the Trinity, every person of the Godhead is involved here. It's a God of hope, believing our faith is in Christ. You know, that's clearly there in Romans 15, verse 12, and then now the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, and so we get that true sense, that spiritual sense of abundant hope. Hope that comes from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But taking it in reverse order, you know, the prayer is there that you all, again, it's the plural you, that you all may abound in hope. You know, these are beautiful biblical bookends to Romans 15, 13. It begins with hope. It ends with hope. You know, the gospel of God's hope commences and concludes this one precious verse of Scripture. You know, keep on abounding in hope. Don't just have a taste of hope. Don't just have a hope when you're in church on Sundays. You know, may you know God's hope 24/7, 365 days of the year. You know, don't let your gospel hope wax and wane like the moon. Or worse yet, don't let your gospel hope rise and fall four times a day like the tide. Well, is it low tide, high tide? You know, keep abounding in hope. An abundant gospel hope in Christ. You know, what a radiant witness that would be for Christ.
You know, if others saw that gospel hope, saw us abounding in hope, you know, as individual Christians, as families, as a church family. You know, just a side note here, a shared gospel hope brings gospel security and gospel solidarity to Christ's church. You know, you're going to hear some little tidbits of history in the coming year. And the reason why is this is 2016, and actually this will mark the 145th anniversary of Hope Presbyterian Church, founded in 1871, May 20th, 1871. And we are working on a history. Hopefully we'll have it out before too long. We finish the directory, so there's hope, true hope, to have a church history here. You know, but it's interesting, you know, as you read through even a cursory reading of the church history, you know, just church names. It began as Opelousas Presbyterian Church, and it was First Presbyterian Church, Westminster Presbyterian, now Hope Presbyterian. By the way, I pray the Lord comes again before another change in a church name. I think it's a great name. You know, hope. A church of hope. Hope because we serve a God of hope. Hope because of the hope we can know through faith in Christ. Hope of forgiveness of sins. Hope of life eternal. Hope of a life filled with joy and peace in believing. And that's on this side of heaven, by the way. And we'll know it in greater fullness in glory. And how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the God who is the source of hope, the provider of hope as well, gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit to convict us of sin, to call us to saving faith in Christ, to comfort us. The Holy Spirit who charges us to go forth as gospel witnesses. Remember that verse from Acts chapter 1, verse 8? After Christ's resurrection, the disciples are gathering together in the upper room, and we read this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You know, so it's not just, well, I've got my hope and I'm going to hoard it here in this coming year. No, it's a hope to be shared with all those around us. May the power of the Holy Spirit, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You know, what a glorious prayer. You know, again, not just a taste, not just a sampling, not just a glimpse of hope, but so that your lives might be gushing forth with that life-giving hope of Christ. You know, in his sermon on Romans 15, verse 13, John MacArthur encouraged his congregation to always remember that God is the God of hope. And let me quote a couple of sentences. He speaks of the God of hope who is the source of eternal hope, the source of eternal life, the source of eternal salvation. And then Dr. MacArthur went on to write, "You know what his benediction really is," speaking of Romans 15, 13. "You know what his benediction really is, that you may be totally spiritually satisfied, filled with joy and filled with peace, filled with hope overflowing. His prayer, his benediction is that we might be fully satisfied in Christ." You know, what a glorious prayer, to be fully satisfied in Christ. But along with being fully satisfied in Christ, let us share this gospel hope with the hopeless and hurting ones all around us. You know, may we tell them, gladly tell them, what it means to be filled with the joy and peace of saving faith in a saving God who loves us in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are indeed the God of hope. Lord, pray that you would be filling our lives with that hope and joy and peace and faith, not only so that we would be rejoicing in that gracious gift, but Father, we pray as well that we would be those who show that gospel hope, who speak of that gospel hope in Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.